summary of the number of terrorists still on American soil.
As indicated in the report, as of December 31st of 2016, there are 549 individuals on that list of convictions of terrorism, international terrorism-related offenses. A subsequent DHS analysis of those 549 individuals convicted of international terrorism-related offenses determined that approximately 73%, or 402 of these 549 individuals, were foreign-born.
Once again, Ed O'Callaghan earlier today at a press briefing. Steve Bannon will reportedly be interviewed by prosecutors and will not have to testify before a grand jury in the Russia investigation. There are multiple reports about Bannon striking a deal with the special counsel Robert Mueller. Bannon is a former top advisor to President Trump and was instrumental in Trump's surprise victory in the 2016 presidential election. You can find more news and headlines online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The meteor that lit up the sky over Detroit last night reportedly made impact near the village of New Haven, Michigan. John Zawiski is a geologist at the Cranbrook Institute of Science, and he describes what actually happened.
A small asteroid came into the atmosphere. As it came from space into the atmosphere, lots of pressure was put on it, and eventually it exploded above the surface, and rocks rained down probably over a pretty significant area.
It was confirmed by the U.S. Geological Survey that the meteor caused a magnitude 2.0 earthquake shortly after 8 p.m. and was seen as far away as New York City and parts of Canada. Officials with NASA said this morning that the meteor was traveling at approximately 28,000 miles per hour when it was spotted and estimated to be about the size of a small car and weighed about a ton when it came into the Earth's atmosphere.
You can find that spot quite easily. You can go on Google Earth and see exactly where that earthquake epicenter was, and the strewn field is likely associated with that epicenter.
More Americans are beginning to support the president's new tax bill. A survey conducted by the New York Times suggests that support has grown to 46% since last month when it was signed into law. A piece of history will be auctioned off in Scottsdale, Arizona today. The 1939 Mercedes-Benz Supercharged 770K with armor and bulletproof glass was built and used by Adolf Hitler and will be on the auction block. There are several videos and pictures of Hitler in the car as he was being shuttled around during World War II. Again, join us online for more news and headlines at usaradio.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It is 9:05, time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. We're at 30 degrees right now, overcast in Flemington. There's a couple more bands of snow showers coming through our area. Today is January 30th, TGIF 2015. Light snow this morning, giving way to partly cloudy conditions this afternoon. A high of 34, winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Chance of snow is 70%. We have a wind advisory in effect that starts around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Gusts of up to 50 miles per hour with normal northwest 20 to 30 mile an hour winds taking place. High-profile vehicles will be affected in their travel. Also, the possibility of trees and power lines being affected. Partly cloudy skies tonight. A few flurries or snow showers possible. A low of 8. Winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. A mainly sunny sky tomorrow, a high of 24, winds northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Winds could occasionally gust over 40 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies on Sunday during the morning hours will give way to occasional snow showers in the afternoon, a high around 35. Winds northwest-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow, 40%. Snow accumulations less than 1 inch. And then Sunday night, a low of 22, accumulation of snow, 100% chance, 5 to 8 inches. Moving into Monday with another 3 to 5 inches and a chance of snow, 100%. Monday night, we're down to minus 2, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a high of 21. Cloudy skies on Wednesday with a high of 37. Temperatures in our area, 32 in Reddington, 30 in Franklin, 31 in Hampton, 32 Raritan, 31 in Ringo's, 30 in Lambertville, 31 in Frenchtown. Good morning, Hunter, and it's Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Good morning, Hunter and UnchamberRadio.com. Chase Ryan, it's his birthday today, saying goodbye. I don't know what it is, a theme song between goodbyes today. Saying goodbye and hello and goodbye with Phil Collins. All right, it's time to look at traffic, see what's going on with our roads in the area. HRTTMA.com gives me my information. They send it to me via email, but you can get it via Twitter as well. Just sign up with them. A couple of incidents earlier this morning around the 7:30, 8 o'clock mark. We had congestion on 78 eastbound in Tewksbury at County Route 523, which is exit 24. And then we had an incident on Route 523 in Raritan Township North.
At 1-800-511-4HMC. Or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It is 9:05, time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. We're at 30 degrees right now, overcast in Flemington. There's a couple more bands of snow showers coming through our area. Today is January 30th, TGIF 2015. Light snow this morning, giving way to partly cloudy conditions this afternoon. A high of 34, winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Chance of snow is 70%. We have a wind advisory in effect that starts around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Gusts of up to 50 miles per hour with normal northwest 20 to 30 mile an hour winds taking place. High-profile vehicles will be affected in their travel. Also, the possibility of trees and power lines being affected. Partly cloudy skies tonight. A few flurries or snow showers possible, a low of 8. Winds northwest to 15 to 25 miles per hour. A mainly sunny sky tomorrow, a high of 24. Winds northwest to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Winds could occasionally gust over 40 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies on Sunday during the morning hours will give way to occasional snow showers in the afternoon, a high around 35. Winds northwest-northwest to 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow, 40%. Snow accumulations, less than 1 inch. And then Sunday night, a low of 22. Accumulation of snow, 100% chance, 5 to 8 inches. Moving into Monday with another 3 to 5 inches and a chance of snow, 100%. Monday night, we're down to minus 2, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a high of 21. Cloudy skies on Wednesday with a high of 37. Temperatures in our area, 32 in Reddington, 30 in Franklin, 31 in Hampton, 32 Raritan, 31 in Ringo's, 30 in Lambertville, 31 in Frenchtown. Good morning, Hunter and the Sun Chamber Radio weather. Chase Ryan, it's his birthday today, saying goodbye. I don't know what it is, a theme song between goodbyes today, saying goodbye and hello and goodbye with Phil Collins. All right, it's time to look at traffic, see what's going on with our roads in the area. HRTTMA.com gives me my information. They send it to me via email, but you can get it via Twitter as well. Just sign up with them. Couple of incidents earlier this morning around the 7:38 o'clock mark. We had congestion on 78 eastbound in Tewksbury at County Route 523, which is exit 24. And then we had an incident on Route 523 in Raritan Township north of Leffler Hill Road. I don't have an all clear on either one of them, but it's been over an hour plus, so I'm assuming they have been taken care of. Aside from that, it's time to start planning your Monday morning commute. Yeah, it could change, but why not have that dialogue with your staff and or your employer tonight, today, so that everybody knows what they're doing on Monday, given what the forecast is at the moment. All right? Have a snow chain, phone calls, check-in, something that will allow you to make sure that your commute on Monday is safe and intelligent. That's Good Morning on In on Chamber Radio Traffic. All right, a little history from History.com for January 30th, 2015. We start off with 1948. Mahatma Gandhi, the political and spiritual leader of the Indian independence movement, is assassinated in New Delhi by a Hindu fanatic on this day. In the American Revolution, 1781, Maryland becomes the 13th and finally the last state to ratify the Articles of Confederation, almost 3 years after the official deadline given by Congress of March 10th, 1778. So we drag our feet even when we're trying to start our country. In 1968, in coordinated attacks all across South Vietnam, communist forces launched their largest offensive of the Vietnam War against South Vietnamese and U.S. troops, known as the Tet Offensive. And it shakes the Cold War confidence. On this day in 1649 in London, King Charles I is beheaded for treason on January 30th. Charles ascended to the English throne in 1625. Well, he didn't get there too long. Following the death of his father, King James I, in the first year of his reign, Charles offended his Protestant subjects by marrying Henrietta Maria, a Catholic French princess. He later responded to political opposition to his rule by dissolving Parliament on several occasions, and in 1629 decided to rule entirely without Parliament. In 1942, the bitter struggle between King and Parliament for supremacy led to the outbreak of the First English Civil War. Guess he wasn't reading the handwriting. In 1835, in the House chamber of the U.S. Capitol, President Andrew Jackson, the 7th President of the United States, survives the first attempt against his life of a U.S. President. When shots were fired. In 1945, a vital supply route linking India to China through Burma is finally cleared for Allied military transports on this day. The first convoy of 133 trucks under British General Mountbatten left Lido several weeks earlier, but could not enter China until the Americans were able to remove the last Japanese troops. Retreating southward from a Chinese counteroffensive, Chinese General Chiang Kai-shek said the road had broken Japan's siege of China. In 1972, in Londonderry, Northern Ireland, 13 unarmed civil rights demonstrators are shot dead by British Army paratroopers in an event that became known as Bloody Sunday. The protesters, all Northern Catholics, were marching in protest of the British policy of internment of suspected Irish nationalists. British authorities had ordered the march banned and sent troops to confront the demonstrators when it went ahead. The soldiers fired indiscriminately into the crowd of protesters, killing 13 and wounding 17. In music, 1923, jazz pioneer Sidney Bechet cuts his first record featuring Wildcat Blues and Kansas City Blues. In the Old West, 1933, the stirring notes of the William Tell Overture and a shout of "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger debuts in Detroit's WXYZ radio station in 1933. In sports, I remember this like it was yesterday, one of the most heart-wrenching days in Olympic history. On this day in 1994, the American speed skater Dan Jansen sets a new world record of 35.76 at the World Sprint Championships in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And Dan had struggled mightily not too long before that when he was skating in the Olympics and had learned just before his race that his sister, Jane, had died from leukemia. And it just ruined his race, and he was not able to succeed. He eventually came back 4 years later to win the gold medal, and it was just an amazing amazing redemption for him. That's Today in History from History.com for January 30th, 2015. We're going to take a break. I'm going to get a representative from Provident Bank on in just a minute. We'll talk about grants that may be of interest to you. Hang on. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chamber. Here we come.
The Lone Ranger.
Are you still there?
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Got a guest via the phone. Her name is Jane Kurek. She is part of the Provident Bank Foundation. I'm going to bring her on in. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you doing out there in Hunterdon?
We're doing just fine. Where are you based?
Well, physically, our foundation office is here in Morristown.
Okay. I know it well. I grew up over in Parsippany and frequented Morristown a lot, so... Very familiar with it.
We're safe now, Chris. Tell me we're safe now.
So the Provident Bank Foundation is separate from Provident Bank. We're going to go through a little bit about that. But let's start with a little bit about you. What is your role with the Provident Bank Foundation? How did you get started with it?
You know, Chris, I've been with the bank 19 years in May.
All right. Congratulations.
I work for a small bank in Morris County, mm-hmm. First Morris. We were acquired by Provident 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I became executive director of the Provident Bank Foundation just 2 years ago in 2013.
Neat.
After managing the giving for both banks for many years and all the community relations. Mm-hmm. Very active in chamber.
Right.
Very
excellent.
Active.
Excellent.
So... So that's my background, you know, banking over 25 years. I don't know where the time went, but always manage those community relations for the bankers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I frequented First Morris Bank myself back by, but I think United Jersey there was a lot of other acquisitions before it got to Provident, I think, but unless I'm confusing them.
Might be.
All right.
But yeah, we were, No, that was a small bank, very much, you know, to Yep. Provident was, there were two bidders. Provident was the winning bidder, and okay. we're very fortunate because the culture was okay. such a good fit.
Great. Now, I'm a little, I wouldn't say curious. I guess it is curious. I didn't realize that you could have a bank, and then you could have a bank foundation or a foundation that's kind of separate from the bank using the bank's name. So can you tell me a little bit about First Provident Bank's foundation got started and how it differs from the bank?
Well, Provident Bank celebrated 175 years mm-hmm. of doing business in New Jersey last year.
Right.
It'll be 176 in February.
Wow.
And, you know, and as we grow this franchise and we grow our network, just in 2003, the leaders of the bank, first of all, Provident Bank was always known for its philanthropic efforts. Oh, my gosh. They were, if you drive through different cities, you will see Provident Bank Ambulatory Center. We're just known for our philanthropic efforts and very, very proud of them. 2003, Provident Bank went public, and with that IPO money, funded the Provident Bank Foundation.
Okay. Wow.
And our mission is quite, and I hate to use that word simple, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Provident Bank Foundation mission is to support the communities Provident Bank serves.
Okay. And being based in Morristown, what's your geographical reach?
I'm on the road a lot.
Okay.
I will be out your way in a couple weeks. I've got two or three appointments lined up.
Mm-hmm.
So Provident Bank is in 13 counties here in New Jersey.
Okay.
And now we're, as they tell me, I've come across the river.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Bucks County and Lehigh Valley with the, you know, Team Capital is bringing us into Hunterdon,
okay.
Warren, Lehigh Valley, and then, you know, Bucks County.
Team Capital. All right. Now we threw another bank in there. So what's happened? How did that happen?
Well, you know, Provident Bank continues to grow.
Right.
It's a strong bank. I was very excited when it's almost a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was announced that we were in talks to acquire Team Capital.
Okay.
I've known Team Capital for years through its leaders that I've worked with in the community.
Right.
And strong commercial bank, known for its, also known for its philanthropic efforts
mm-hmm.
in the communities they serve. So
yep.
What a nice fit.
Yep.
What a nice fit.
And we have a number of branches that are right around here. In fact, one was right down the road here by the Union Hotel and the other one right on Route 31. So, all right. So they're changing over to Provident at some point, or they already have?
They have changed
to okay.
Provident, Chris. Yeah.
All right.
Get all this. It's done.
I don't get out much,
Capital.
Jane.
You don't get out much is right. It sounds like it. Wow.
They keep me in the dark here. I'm a mushroom.
Oh, please. the Team Capital staff are now part of Provident Bank.
Okay. Well, that's great. That was
and we have a tough act to follow. Team Capital
mm-hmm.
was known for its community giving.
Right, yep.
Community relationships, the partnerships they built.
Yep. There seems to be a huge distinction that's been made over the last couple of years with a lot of the headlines being made by the bigger banks, the financial banks of J.P. Morgan and Chase and all that, that they're losing sight of the little guy, the small business. And it was Team Capital and I guess now Provident Bank the regional banks that are making a lot more headway in going into the community and helping us restore our economies locally. So it's good to hear.
Yeah, from your lips. I like that. That sounded good.
Thank you. All right.
Like that.
That's what they pay me my huge salary for. All right, so you have, being part of the foundation, there's some grants that are available. Perhaps you could go through a little bit about the details of them and who would be eligible and how they would be able to apply.
Absolutely. And these didn't come about overnight. We've been working on this for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
My board, the Provident Bank Foundation, was established, as I said, in 2003.
Okay.
And never did the board take a look back. Nothing was wrong. It
mm-hmm.
was checking our pulse.
Right.
Who have we provided funding for? You know, the people that we've touched. And there's been hundreds of thousands. It's absolutely, I couldn't even begin to count the mm-hmm. people we've touched. And we took a look, we did an in-depth analysis of where we've been to prepare for where we're going.
Right.
To be very, very conscious of the new territory we're going to. The first thing we did was reduced our funding priority areas from 4 to 3. So that's very important, Chris. Our funding priority areas are community enrichment, mm-hmm. education, health, youth, and families.
Okay.
And the goal there was to also better define our funding priority areas. And your listeners and anyone of interest can access this information. They don't have to take notes. They can access this information very easily and very clearly on the foundation website.
Okay.
Which is www.providentnjfoundation.org.
Okay. Yep.
And so, you know, that really breaks all down. Again, nobody has to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are getting ready to go into new territory. And we're also looking at the smaller grants that we're very proud of
mm-hmm.
and very appreciated by the groups that we're giving these grants to. But are they just Band-Aids?
Right.
And so the board, we talked to the board mid-year last year, would they consider larger grants?
Mm-hmm.
And really helping groups to build capacity to affect change in someone's life. It's just a real important element of what the community groups do.
Sure.
You know, that, help them to do what they do. So we put together two grants. One is called the Signature Grants, and those are one for each of our priority areas, our funding priority areas.
Okay.
And that would be $100,000, one mm-hmm. for each of our funding priority areas. And that's truly to drive meaningful impact. The other, so that is open. That particular, and we're calling on, it's an RFP process.
Mm-hmm.
Two-step. Again, all our deadlines and guidelines can be found on the foundation website.
Right.
We're looking for groups. We're looking to be partners with groups as they work in the communities.
Okay.
The first one up, first deadline is going to be for our community enrichment. Groups are invited to submit a letter of interest,
mm-hmm.
which is due in mid-February. Again, the deadlines are all on our website.
Okay.
That's open to all of the bank's territory. So the 13 counties here in New Jersey, groups in Bucks County, and groups in Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley, I define, Chris, is that eastern portion of Lehigh County.
Right.
And that southeastern portion of Northampton. It is truly the bank's marketplace.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at. And so that's very important. So those are three. And I've spread those out through the year. The first one up, as I said, is going to be the letter of interest for community enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
Education letter of interest is due in May.
Right.
And then the health, youth, and families is due in August.
Okay.
And so the process is all written out, and just, and all the everything is available online, Chris.
Okay.
I think that's real important to tell people. First thing I did as I took over the foundation is reduce paper.
There you go. Well, it's also reduce phone calls, because if the information is not there on in black and white for people to read it, there's going to be a lot of need for communication interaction to clarify. So if you have everything there, at least they can keep going back to refer to it. Because quite honestly, these types of processes, they're I won't say they're complicated, but they have some steps, and you have to know which step comes first and when those deadlines are need to be respected.
Well, I think one thing to share with you, we're a small foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Myself as executive director, and then Shauna Murphy is my foundation associate. And
sure.
A shout out to my team.
All right.
Donna, Brian, of course, who you've met from Kitchen, and then my other partner, Matthew Barnes from ASG Partners.
You mm-hmm. know,
this was a team effort to put together this program, and we've put it all out there on the website.
Okay.
So I hope people will take advantage of that and take a look at it. But it is going to be competitive.
Sure.
Signature grants. Oh, it's very competitive. You know, you can spend a long time putting this together and hope and hope for a good response.
Right.
I can now, 4 weeks into the launch, say that I expect it to be competitive.
Yep.
Some great energy coming to us.
Right. So
that's the signature grant. Those are the $100,000 signature grants.
Okay, so these people, these organizations are expecting to make a request for proposal, and the organization that is awarded this grant will receive $100,000 for one of each of these categories. That's what we're getting at?
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, before we get on to the other one, what would, and I don't want to, I'm asking this, and I know I don't want to narrow it down, because who knows what marvelous and unique organizations are out there, but what is a typical organization that you're looking for that would be applying for these?
Do you know, there is no typical. One thing that's incredibly important is, first of all, it's their tax status.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be a 501c3.
Okay.
And they have to be the tax code. It's a 509, which is very, people don't recognize what that is.
No.
But it's a subsection of our good old IRS
okay.
coding. And so that's real important. I am, Chris, we're open.
Okay.
There's so much need in our community.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I really don't want to put a, I don't want to frame that. In,
sure.
By me, I don't want to do it.
Okay.
I'm excited about some of the proposals that have been brought to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just waiting for those letters of interest. One thing I would encourage, and it's on the website under the RFC, is the assessment criteria.
Okay.
The level of the playing ground, it's every letter of interest that comes to the foundation will be assessed on this range of criteria.
Okay.
You know, it's a level playing field. I've been very careful. I don't know if I told you this. I've been taking about 5 or 6 calls a day.
Wow.
Because we are a small foundation, and I want to make contact with people. I really want people to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a phone call is the fastest way.
Sure.
We don't want to lose track of that. But the assessment criteria, a lot of thought was given into it, and I hope people will look at that.
Okay. So
because
it's out
that's
there.
What I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a... To use a school metaphor now, it's a rubric. It's something that you're going to use, and the people can understand what they need to meet and is to get the attention of you and your staff for being considered.
And that's exactly what we're calling it.
Okay.
I have one over here to my left, and it's a scoring rubric.
There you go.
It breaks it down. It's a good tool. It's just a really good tool. And we'll go past the school days right into the business world. It's a good tool.
There you go. All right. So is that was a signature grant, and now there's a completely different program you're going to talk about.
Well, it's different in that it's very focused on 4 counties or 4 areas, if you will.
Okay.
This is called an impact grant, and we're hoping to do up to 4 of these $20,000 impact grants in 2015.
Okay.
And this is focused on the banks. 4 new geographies, and very, very specific, and this is from the acquisition of Team Capital Bank.
Okay.
So it would be Hunterdon County, Warren County, Lehigh Valley, and again, I've described, you know, I've broken down exactly what that location is,
mm-hmm.
and Bucks County.
Okay. So each one of those, it will be one organization, each one of those will be awarded a $20,000.
Well, or I encourage collaboration.
Oh, okay. There you have
oh,
it.
My. Yeah. I've had some very interesting ideas come across, you know, via email and by conversations. And, again, the need. If 2, 3, 4 groups can put their heads together, we're open.
And what do you define as impact?
It's life-changing, Chris.
Okay.
It's going to be building capacity. It's innovative.
Uh-huh.
You know, again, I've been really hesitant as I talk to groups of giving opinion.
Yeah, no,
because, you know, one of the, I think in the spirit of these grants,
right,
and I can't put that in an RFP, I can't put it in writing, the true spirit is to get to know the community better.
Uh-huh.
That's the true spirit of this.
Yep.
And so we're looking in Huntington County. I've had some great conversations. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to receiving some, letters of interest.
Right.
So the first one is going to be, the first cycle is we're looking to hear from groups in Huntington County.
Right.
They have to be based in Huntington County.
Okay.
Or serving Huntington County.
All right.
I would, and I'm open for a conversation. We have to schedule these on my calendar. It's crazy. But, But and then Lehigh Valley are the first two cycle and the first cycle. And those letters of interest are due February 16th.
Okay. Well, you have a lot of different calendar days you got to meet for all these different programs and geographical areas. So how do you...
I love when those alerts come up and tell me that.
Yeah. Well, that's technology for you.
Well, it's okay. It's okay. It keeps us focused. Mm-hmm. We're very busy here because one thing I want to share with groups and your listeners, is that we haven't done away with our grants.
Okay.
And again, on our website, there is a tab for grants.
Okay.
If a group, you know, a listener of yours or a group in Hunter, say, well, we don't fit in that. We don't have that capacity or we're not that big.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at our grants.
So you have the separate program that's been going on for quite some time in addition to these two new initiatives.
We call them standard foundation
grants. All right. Very good.
So there's a grant, which is the deadline for that, again, is on the website, and that's the first day of the quarter,
mm-hmm.
each quarter of the year. And that's over $3,500 with a maximum of $7,500.
Okay.
And then our community grant, which, again, we're a community bank and very proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are under $3,500.
Neat. Neat stuff. Mm-hmm. In your capacity of doing this, what has been in the past that you'd like to highlight as far as success or just innovative?
Oh, that's a good one, and it's an easy one, Chris. On the website, people will see a video.
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, I was approached by a hospital in Middlesex County, and they finally discovered and someone in their tech department worked hard on this. A secure camera for the NICU. And that was innovative. And I drove away from that site visit. I said, well, wait a minute. My sister's dog goes to Camp Bow Wow.
Right.
And she can watch the dog on her phone.
Right.
But the technology that's been used for babies has not secure.
Right.
This is secure technology. Parents are given a password.
Mm-hmm.
They can give it to as many people as they want around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And 24/7 access to their infants.
Neat.
And so that went live in late 2013. That was a $100,000 grant.
Mm-hmm.
That went live in late in 2013.
Right.
54 cribs at the hospital in the NICU. And as of in 1 year time, they had over 100,000 hits.
Sweet.
From around the world.
Nice.
Is that exciting?
That's exciting, and it's tangible. You immediately saw the results of it, and who knows? Everybody's feeling tremendously proud of being able to witness and watch the newborns. So that's great.
And employees. More importantly, the employees of the bank have seen this and said, wow.
That's cool.
We're part of that. We're part
of that.
That's cool. So did that answer your question?
That certainly answered my question.
That's an exciting one.
There you go.
That, but not every grant is going to. Actually, I got a phone call from the hospital yesterday. With the snow this earlier this week,
mm-hmm.
the cameras were going nuts.
Why?
Because the parents couldn't get in to see their babies.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And they could see them on any device.
Uh-huh.
Nurses leave notes for the parents. It's it's really great technology. Neat. And then the video is on our website.
Very neat.
And so that was an example of the excitement that we've been able to participate in and partner with the
Excellent.
Group.
That's great, and it works for everybody. You're helping the staff at the hospital. You're helping the parents and the relatives of the families, and your staff and the bank staff all gets a good charge out of that type of success in such a short period of time. That's awesome.
Well, I think what's interesting is just how many people have had that that frightening experience of having their infants in the NICU,
right.
Including our chairman.
Yep.
It's been, and that's impactful.
Great.
It's impactful. Great partnership. There's a new story every time I visit. I'm a regular at the unit.
Cool.
I hope I answered your question.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly the type of thing. I just want to, I know when I'm asking these questions about who's eligible and what organizations should look into it. Some organizations recognize themselves as being already innovative, and then there's other ones that just need a little bit of prompting to say, wow, I didn't realize that I could be eligible for making a request to Provident Bank Foundation for something. So I'm trying to stir both sides of the question here to make sure that organizations that should be eligible recognize that they should be eligible. So
thank you. One of the things I'm going to bring everyone back to is that criteria.
Yep.
I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but that assessment criteria, a lot of thought was given into it. And I think that, the goals, objectives of any group, if they take a look at that, I mean, in some instances, to address what you're saying, groups would need to really, truly take a look at their leadership, their programming, and who do they serve.
Right.
Does that help you?
Certainly.
I hope it helps your listeners.
Yes, it does. And so if they have any other questions, is there contact information that they should know that to chat with somebody?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But, there's one thing I do want to share, and I think it's an important element. Because we are a small foundation, we are only able to accept one request from a group in the calendar year.
Okay.
And so if a group chooses to submit an LOI for any of these grants, the Salt Marsh grants, that would be their request for 2015.
Okay.
And so they really need to think very hard and be very clear about what their request is. They may fit into our standard grant.
Okay.
And so, and again, I'm open for a conversation.
Okay.
So our website, again, is www.providentnjfoundation.org. I can be reached at jane.kurek, K-U-R-E-K, at providentnj.com.
Okay.
And then, Chris, this will be a test to see how many people are listening, right?
Uh-huh.
I'll let you know how many people reach out to me.
Okay.
And we start the conversation.
Okay. Anything else, parting thoughts or last-minute thoughts that you want to...
Thank you. Hey. I want to thank you for inviting us. And, I hope this gets out to lots of people. I'm looking forward to learning more about your community.
All right. Well, come on down. I'm right here. We broadcast live here in the chamber. I'm here every morning 8 to 10. So if you happen to be in the Chamber of Commerce office, meet the president, or just knock on the door, and we'll say hello and maybe get you on live.
Hear
more cool stories.
Here in a couple of weeks, appointments.
Okay.
I've shopped in the outlets. I have lots of friends down in your area.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to going to them. They always come up to me.
There you go.
And now I'm looking forward to having a cup of coffee in Flemington with them. So,
all right.
It's great.
You're more than welcome.
It's exciting for all of us.
All right. Great talking to you, Jane. And thank you to Brian and Chris Phelan for making this conversation happen. And maybe we can touch base a little later in the year to find out how things are going with the results of this latest campaign.
Chris, you can can count on it.
All right.
This is a partnership with any of these groups, and we're looking forward to highlighting them.
All right. Thanks, Jane. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Jane Keurig from the Provident Bank Foundation, and they have multiple grants plus these new grants, the Signature Grant and the Impact Grant. Read the website, learn about the rubric, the assessment criteria, and by all means, please look at your organization to make sure that you fit in and can receive that. It's important to get your funding if you're in fact your organization has those and meets those criteria. So give Jane a call and see if you can get what you need to. All right, we're going to take a break. It's 9:46. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
¿Cómo pude arriesgarlo todo por tu amor que nunca existiría? Tu traición ya la veía, pensabas que no te olvidar.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose in that you're no longer thirsty and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Megan Jones-Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
There you go, a little Wildcat Blues. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntingChamber.com. A couple of articles here to kind of close out the morning show. We have snow coming, and there was an unfortunate occurrence that took place in Round Valley Reservoir Recreation Area last week when we had the snow.
an accident. No rules for sledding at Round Valley Recreation Area, the DEP says. So Christine Lee reported on the 28th that in the wake of a sledding accident that left a 12-year-old girl injured, the Department of Environmental Protection says sledding is not unlike any other winter activity. According to DEP spokesman Bob Considine, the girl was snow tubing and hit a bump. Falling out of the tube, he said she sustained whiplash at the scene. She was flown by helicopter to Morristown Medical Center. Word of her condition was not immediately available. Considine said sledding is not advertised as an activity by the DEP, that it is just something that people do at the state park. Round Valley's website does not state any specific rules on sledding, and he said the activity is similar to any other recreational activity with no specific safety guidelines. So, I guess the, you know, I don't know how, we laugh about this, you know. When I was a kid, we went sleigh riding. And we used to stack the flexible flyers on top of one another, three or four high, and we'd sit on them, we'd stand on them, and we'd crash all over the place. We did not have helmets. How did we survive? I have no idea. If you were concerned about your child's safety, the first thing you should do is be there and monitor it. The second thing you should consider is perhaps taking one of the bicycle helmets that your kid has for their bicycle and use that for sledding. And then, you know, things just happen. You got to protect them as best you can, but quite honestly, things just happen. So can't rule out the fact that kids are going to have fun and they're going to have occasional bumps and bruises. And so we hope for the best at some point. But so make sure that you are, you know, making sure wherever their kid is sleigh riding or snow tubing is safe and that they're making common sense decisions when they're doing what they're doing. All right, it's 9:52. Renee Curlick Hill reports on the 28th that a house gutted by fire more than 3 years ago on Perry Street is still boarded up, and that's concerning neighbors. Ken Rogers of Lambertville Construction Official and a building subcode official said few people have complained to his office about the condition of that building. He said it isn't an imminent hazard and therefore isn't something the city would take action to correct. Rogers said the building's windows were boarded up to discourage entry. The building is an unsafe structure to occupy, he said, but it's not in danger of collapse. After the fire in December of 2011, then city Fire Chief Ron Tillett Jr. said the duplex, which was occupied by tenants, was a shell. The roof is mostly burned off the building. The second floor is completely gutted, and there's extensive water and overhaul damage to the first floor apartment. Property owner Gary Carlsrud since received city approvals to rebuild, but Rogers said on January 28th that Carlsrud has apparently changed his mind about what he's going to do. He said the owner has a permit to tear the residence down, but would not be required to take that step unless it becomes an imminent hazard. Were it to reach that point, the city would take action. In 2001, the city ordered the owners of a property damaged by fire to start repairs or have row houses demolished, but only after the city's construction officials ruled that they were a health and safety hazard. And in 2012, the former Lambertville High School was demolished almost 20 years after the first notice of imminent hazard was issued. That notice has also followed a fire. So it's unfortunate, but apparently everybody's working within the means that has been discussed at this point. And we finish up with an article here by Lewis C. Hockman of NJ Advance saying that baby bear cubs recovering, eating well after mom dies in a bizarre accident. And it's in Pittstown. The baby bear is rescued after the mother was killed in what state officials called a bizarre accidental encounter with a deer hunter are growing and doing well, according to Woodlands Wildlife Refuge. The refuge, which took the then one-week-old bears in about 2 weeks ago, said on Facebook Wednesday, Mike and Ike have both taken to feeding on schedule. While one has eaten well since the first week, the other had been fussy during some or most feedings, group wrote, but we're finally both eating regularly, and they are up to 1.3 pounds each, up from 1 pound each they weighed when brought in. According to the State Department of Environmental Protection, an off-duty police officer hunting deer in Alamuchi State Park stepped on the cub's mother accidentally while making his way over a downed tree. The hunter couldn't see the mother bear, and the mother bear had no way to know she and the cubs she was protecting underneath weren't being attacked, DEP spokesman Larry Raganese said. The mother bear clawed at and bit the hunter's foot, and he eventually shot her, unable to get free. Raganese said two more cubs were found dead after the incident, likely crushed in the struggle, Raganese said. But the bears, now known as Mike and Ike, survived and have been in Pittstown-based refuge care since. The refuge plans to continue care for the cubs until it can find a nursing bear in the wild to take over for it.